This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. However you celebrate the holidays, we are now in it deep. Hanukkah begins at sundown tonight. There are five more shopping days and umpteen things to do until Christmas, the holiday parties, the food shopping, the Secret Santa gifts, school plays, pickups. Time seems to compress, just as our wish to enjoy each other in this dark season expands. Cookbook author, educator, and dinner party enthusiast Kathy Gunst is here with some ideas from her most recent book, Notes from a Maine Cookbook. It's a month-by-month guide of recipes inspired by the seasons. Kathy, so great you could come in.
Great to be here.
Well, we should establish that you are not a native Mainer.
I am not, but we should also establish that the book's called Notes from a Maine Kitchen.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. We got that over with. 32 years I am not a native Mainer. I hail from the great state of New York. I will never be a Mainer. I will be here forever, and I will never be a Mainer. My children were both born here, and they probably would like to be New Yorkers. So there you have it. You know, never quite where you are. But that's fine with me. I'm an adoptive Mainer.
What made you stay?
What made me stay? Kind of everything. Nothing in particular. I mean, from the tiny details of being able to leave the keys in the car at night and not lock the house, to knowing almost every neighbor and knowing that beyond the cup of sugar, they're there if the roof is leaking, if the maple syrup isn't working. There's just this sense of community here that was so attractive to me. And the sense of food traditions and history, there's no doubt that that played a big part of wanting to stay here.
So, Notes from a Maine Kitchen. What does it mean to be a Maine cook?
Well, I suppose it means that you are deeply linked into the seasons, whether you want to be or not, because unless you're going to eat tomatoes from Israel and Florida and strawberries that look like pink ping pong balls, you have to pay attention to the season if you want to eat well. And I would say that when we first got here over 30 years ago, it was much harder, in fact, because there wasn't as much focus on local farms and local dairy and local cheesemakers and bakeries. The change in the food seen in the past 30 years has been extraordinary.
When I think of, you know, Maine winters, I think of Ethan Frome, you know, like measuring your life not in years, but in how many winters you've survived. Don't think of food necessarily. What do you think of?
Well, I think of them being way, way too long. I don't know. You know, that's the thing, right? Right around March and April. When I was writing this book, I knew I needed to focus on the months. So I started with January, and I thought the winter is going to be the hardest to document because, in fact, there's nothing growing. But the January through May chapters were the most exciting.
Really?
For instance, in January, I went smelt fishing on the Cathance River up in Bodenham, Maine, with Chef Sam Hayward, who runs the wonderful restaurant 4th Street. I had never been ice fishing. I always thought it was something that, like,
people did because they don't like their wives.
Exactly. Guys did because it was freezing cold. They could bring a bottle. They'd get away from the women and the to-do list. You know, all those cliches. But there it was. It was freezing cold. And the ice was crystal clear. And the air was so fresh and bright. And we were catching fish by the hundreds. I kid you not. And to eat something that you caught in January, first of all, smelts smell and taste like cucumbers. Mm. They're very subtle. They're not anchovy or sardine-like at all. It was so thrilling to go home on a bitter cold January day and say, I got food today. I caught the food. Amazing.
Well, I love you tell so many stories in this book. It is kind of part memoir, part cookbook, and I'm going to say part survival guide. In fact, let's get to your December chapter and the introduction to it. It's called Holiday Entertaining Without Prozac. We'll let you read from that. This is Kathy Gunst. This is Notes from a Maine Kitchen. December.
Oh, December. All right, here's how it starts. Here's the way things work around here. My husband, John, clever man that he is, knows that when we entertain, I like to get things just right. Just right means different things to different people, but when I give a party, expectations are high, both mine and those of my guests. This is never truer than around the holidays, when the pressure to entertain reaches a fever pitch, as does my resistance to entertaining. Since I write cookbooks for a living, people come to our house to be dazzled by the food I serve. And it's not that I don't want to dazzle them, but sometimes I just rather cook a simple meal and be done with it.
Kathy Guntz reading there from Holiday Entertaining Without Prozac. That's the beginning of her December chapter.
Want to hear what happened?
I do. I really want to know.
Okay, so here's what he does. Clever man. He says, why don't we have a party after the holidays, but before the new year? And we were about to go away with our family, and I thought, it'll never happen. You know, we're going away. So we sent out an email to a bunch of people, and we went away, and I forgot about it. Well, that's where he was smart, and that's the key to it, is letting go of all the expectations. We get back from vacation, we're chill, we're happy, we've had a break, and these emails start coming in. Yeah, we want to come. And it was supposed to be potluck, and people are saying, well, we'll try to bring something, but we know the food will be great. And the next thing I know, 70 people are coming to our house on the night of what turns out to be the big blizzard of the year. And a lot of people are not bringing food. And of course, I go into full action. But the whole point of the chapter is that this insanity that happens around the holidays, the stress to get it all perfect, to have your house perfect and your food perfect, it's destroying the urge to cook. This is my problem with a lot of food magazines and a lot of food TV, is that everything looks perfect. But what you don't see is that there are 20 people behind that shot of that turkey making that table look spectacular. There was a food stylist and a prop stylist. And at home, I don't know about you, but I don't really have a prop stylist, you know? It's like, does this plate match that plate? Who cares? Take it out. Let's go. They're coming. So I really try to focus in this book, in all my books, when I teach, just to talk about the fact that entertaining more than anything is about being with people. It's about sitting at a table and sharing food. And if you forget that part of it, then you're going to get hung up on, the yellow doesn't match the blue. I don't think the salad looks good enough. And this isn't pretty enough. And it wasn't like this in the magazine. And this, as I say, hysteria can ruin that desire to just take really fresh seasonal food and put it out on a table and share it with people you love.
So what'd you make?
For the party? Well, I made a bunch of stuff because I was having fun, creating recipes for this book that were seasonal. I made a beautiful spinach tart because we still had a little bit of spinach in the garden with fresh feta and freshly grated nutmeg. What else did I make? I think we made a big ham. We made all kinds of cheeses. But the most innovative thing, I don't like sugar that much. I eat a lot of it, but I'm always trying to figure out how to make it savory. So you know brittle, peanut brittle.
Of course.
Okay.
So, oh my gosh, are you going
to... I have a treat for Virginia. Okay, so I decided, what if you made brittle savory? So here you have a pumpkin seed, bacon, and rosemary brittle. All it's right. True, folks. She's really going to try it.
Pumpkin seed. All right, I'll try and
give
make
it a crunch.
Sound polite.
Let's be quiet. She's laughing. I don't know if that's a good sign.
Oh,
so you get
God.
The meatiness of the bacon. The pumpkin seeds are meaty.
It smells like bacon.
Well, it is. There's real bacon in there. But there's also cayenne, so you get a little hit of spice, and then the fresh rosemary. You can eat this brittle with champagne before dinner, put it on a winter salad with segments of tangerine and crumbled local blue cheese. This is the stuff that will make your winter something. It's just, and it's an exciting flavor in your mouth.
You want to just pick it up from here? Because I'm told it's not really polite to talk with my mouth
full. Yeah,
and
so
I'm...
Virginia can't be with us. So word of mouth is brought to you today by...
Notes from a Main Kitchen. Well, all right. So it's the first day of Hanukkah today, right?
It is.
Obviously.
Happy Hanukkah.
And happy Hanukkah to you. Do you celebrate Hanukkah?
I do celebrate Hanukkah. We celebrate everything. We light the menorah. And we make latkes, which are the potato pancakes. But again, I love using seasonal and local ingredients. So right now, root vegetables are in abundance. We have farmers markets throughout New England, which is a fairly new development, that go all winter long. I was just at one last week, and I got carrots and parsnips and celery root and beets, and I'm going to use those to make pancakes. The whole tradition of Hanukkah is that you fry in oil because oil is what kept the menorah burning. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do a beet and ginger pancake. I'm going to do a parsnip and carrot pancake. You really don't have to just use potatoes, and you don't have to be Jewish. These are wonderful side dishes. And you can also fry them in just a little bit of olive oil instead of the traditional deep fry.
You know, Kathy, after the holidays, you know, obviously we're in the time of partying and light and loveliness. But January, it's dark. I just want to curl up.
Loveliness is not the right word.
I mean, I want to curl up and be fed hot soup and cocoa.
I love that, be fed. I have this image of someone popping grapes in your mouth. January is about dormancy. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the holidays are over. I mean, the good news is we have to focus on this. The days are going to be getting a tiny bit longer, and we have beautiful, bright, sunny winters here. But soups and stews are certainly the classic. I just said I don't love sugar, but I get really interested in chocolate in January and February. So my whole chapters in the winter are devoted to things like smelts and root vegetables, making maple syrup up in March, focusing on the things that nature provide for us. Root vegetables are so much more interesting than people give them credit for, and they are the only thing that's really fresh and still coming out of the ground come January.
Yeah. Well, beyond what goes on your table, we've been following you through this inspiration that you picked up from First Lady Michelle Obama to adopt a school, and we've been, you know, tacking along as you go through that project. You adopted the Central School in your town of South Berwick,
yes.
Maine. Wonderful to hear about you cooking with the kids, talking with them about food, planning a garden with a hoop house. Let's hear just a snippet of you.
I think
this is with first graders.
So I want to introduce you to the fruit. It's like meeting new friends. And I'm sure you guys have had a lot of these fruits, but maybe there's some fruits here you've never had. Anybody know what these are?
Blueberries.
No, look how big they are.
Okay, I call them giant blueberries.
Giant blueberries, but you know, how many of you have ever had a cookie called Fig Newton?
So there you are making a smoothie with them. I just love that. Giant blueberries.
They're so great. These kids have so much energy.
So what's happening now?
Well, last year, I spent the whole year at the school. I taught every single child there pre-K. We're talking four-year-olds. We're talking squirm factor up through third graders. And we actually built a hoop house outside behind the school, which is a pretty primitive structure, kind of a U-shaped, upside-down U-shaped structure. And we grew vegetables all spring through the summer and into the fall. So just last week, we harvested Swiss chard and kale. That's all we had left. And we made kale chips and Swiss chard tacos with the second graders last week. And when I first told them, today we're going to make kale chips and Swiss chard tacos, there was a little bit of the, what? And by the end, they're like, can you give my mom the recipe? They were so delicious. And the kids, something about planting the seeds, growing the vegetable, harvesting the vegetable, and then cooking it, every single child ate it because they're involved with the process. And boy, they were good. Talk about fresh, local, seasonal food.
Kathy, I'm so glad you could join us today. I just am so inspired to do something instead of curling up and being fed. Thank you very much.
January. Have a wonderful holiday and winter.
Kathy Guntz there. She's author who has written 6 Stonewall kitchen cookbooks. She's also an, let's say, adoptive food mother of Central School in South Berwick, Maine. There's a link to much more on her Notes from a Maine Kitchen and blog of the same title at wordofmouthradio.org. And stay with New Hampshire Public Radio because she's on here. You're going to run to Boston now and
jog.
She's going to be talking about the best cookbooks of the year on Here and Now. Don't forget, you can also follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. Now, coming up, Judeo-Spanish Ladino music is helping to revive an endangered language and a culture. That's in just a minute when Word of Mouth continues on NHPR.